Our Old Testament reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 65, verses 17 to 25. I'm reading from the New International Version. See, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. The one who dies at 100 will be thought a mere child. The one who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the work of their hands. They will not labor in vain, nor will they bear children doomed to misfortune, for they will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox, and dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. And our New Testament reading is in the book of Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him? But go. Tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much, Sharon. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the promises that you have made and fulfilled. Help us to hear your voice for us this morning. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Last week, I shared with you that we have a new book in our library called Everything is Tuberculosis. And the author, John Green, has been touring around different places to talk about it. And in the course of some of his interviews, he's been talking about his own story. And he has been very honest for a long time about his struggles with mental health. Particularly, he has OCD and he has depression. And those two can often go together to create a very difficult time. And often people talk to him because he's, despite all of that, or maybe because of all of that, he is very much a man of hope. And there are many people around the world who look to him for hope. And they ask him often, "Where do you find hope?" And he was talking about stories, right? He's a storyteller by nature. He wrote young adult fiction before he wrote this book. And he said, you know, when we think about our own stories, right, our story began the day we were born. And up to this moment, this is as far as our story has gone, right? In this moment that we're living, in any given moment, that's as much of our story as we know. We don't know what's coming next. And he said, sometimes that can lead us to feel like we're at the end of our story. And whatever is happening in our life in that moment, that's just how it's going to be. He says, one of the places where I find hope is in remembering that I'm in the middle of my story and that there is still more to come. We can certainly see that in the story of God and God's love, right? God as an infinite being is always in the middle of God's story, right? There's an infinite amount that's happened already and an infinite amount still to come. But if we look through Scripture, we also see how God likes to remind God's people that we are also in the middle of our stories. God sends prophets at all sorts of different times to talk to God's people. Now remember, when a prophet shows up, it's usually not a great sign for you, right? A prophet is there to tell people, you're messing up today, fix it so you don't have to face the consequences tomorrow. That's how I would sum up a prophet sent by God. And sometimes the people listen to the prophet and they change their ways and the bad things that are forecasted don't happen. The other reason that prophets show up is when God's people are in the midst of really awful things and the prophets are there to remind them that it will get better. That even though it's bad now, it's not going to stay that way. And Isaiah kind of feels like a little bit of both. Isaiah is there to say, guys, you are not being God's people right now. And this is what's going to happen. The Babylonians are going to come, and they're going to conquer you, and they're going to take you away if you don't shape up. But Isaiah also comes to bring hope, to say, okay, you're going to be in exile. We know what's going to happen. You're not going to listen. Babylonians are going to take you away. But that's not the end of your story either. And through Isaiah, God says, this is how our passage in Isaiah began. See, I will create new heavens and a new earth. Be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. Jerusalem wasn't a delight when Isaiah was writing. There was a lot of injustice, there was a lot of pain, there was a lot of people suffering. But God promises, I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. We can find these stories all through Scripture. And of course, Jesus' story is another example of that. Jesus' friends really thought that Jesus' story was over. Jesus comes along the path and is, in Luke chapter 24, as two of his friends are walking to a place called Emmaus. And Jesus asks them why they look so sad and they don't recognize him. And this is how his friends describe him. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death. And they crucified him. But we had hoped he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. We had hoped, past tense. Jesus' disciples thought it was over. And of course, the beautiful irony is that they're talking to the risen Jesus as they say this, even if they can't see it. Now, I had to go to Luke. And a little later, we're going to go to John as well, because Mark doesn't actually say a whole lot post-resurrection. What you heard Sharon read, those 8 verses, that's it. There is an extra ending to Mark that we think was added later, but as far as what we think Mark wrote originally, it's just those 8 verses. So Mark tells a whole bunch of really fast stories, and then he slows down for Holy Week. From Palm Sunday to Good Friday, he spends 5 chapters talking about what Jesus does in those last few days before he dies. And then 8 verses after he rises from the dead. Come on, Mark. I say this a lot. Mark just leaves us hanging. In like every important story, it feels like he just leaves us there. And he does it enough that we have to assume it's on purpose. So we get to the end of Mark's gospel, and we've been reading the gospel of Mark since September. We've reached the end now. And imagine for a moment you haven't heard this story before. Imagine for a moment you haven't read the other gospels. You probably have a few questions. You might want to know whether the women ever told the disciples about Jesus. You might want to know whether the disciples went to Galilee and whether they saw Jesus. Anybody else see Jesus? What happened to Peter after he was betrayed, after he betrayed Jesus? Notice he's singled out. Go tell the disciples and Peter. There's something unresolved there. What happened? What happened to Judas after he betrayed Jesus? We hear nothing else about him either in Mark. There was that centurion that stood on the hill and looked up at the cross and said, "Surely this is the Son of God." That was treason. Did he get arrested? Was he killed? Did he become a follower of Jesus? Come on, Mark. So many questions. Now, many of those questions are answered if you read the other gospel accounts. But I think Mark wants us to ask those questions. I want you to think for a moment. If you're a reader, think about some of the books that you've read recently. If you prefer movies or TV, think about some of the shows that you have watched. If you like sports, think about some of the games you've watched. How often do you go back and read or watch again? Once the story is over, how often do you think, I want to start that again and read it? You might have some favorites. For me, it's Lord of the Rings. Every few years, I need to go back and to Middle Earth and read it again. I love it. But the vast majority of the books that I read, I will never read again. They're over, they're done, and I've put them aside. And the last thing Mark wants us to do is to do that with the story of Jesus. Because it's not over. It doesn't end with him being raised from the dead. It doesn't end with him ascending into heaven and sending the Holy Spirit. The story's not over yet. Because Jesus, yes, he died for our sins on Friday so we wouldn't have to. He rose from the dead on Sunday so we could have life with him. And then what? Jesus wants us to ask. Mark wants us to ask. And then what? John writes it more directly. This is what he says is the purpose of his gospel, John, in John 20. These signs are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. By believing you may have life in his name. This is the invitation. This is the next step in the story. Because you can't have life without movement, without change, without things happening. If everything stops, you're dead. So, and that's not what Jesus wants for us. Jesus wants life and life abundant. It's the invitation the women are given at the tomb. It's the invitation the disciples were given in Galilee. It's the invitation for every person, every time we hear the story of Jesus, to believe that he is the Messiah and to have life abundant. And then, of course, we beg the question, what does that mean? And that, my friends, is the story of a lifetime. Because sometimes we are like the women. We're afraid of what we've heard, of what Jesus has done, and we don't want to tell anyone for fear of being ridiculed or for being persecuted. And so we walk away and say nothing. Sometimes we're like the centurion in awe and something bursts out of us, maybe beyond our control, and then we have to face the consequences. Sometimes we're like Peter and we realize we've betrayed who we are, who God wants us to be, and we feel devastated. Sometimes we're tired and disappointed like the disciples on the road to Emmaus. And we feel like our hope is gone. Sometimes we're filled with joy as we hear the good news and want to share it with all who come across us. Good or bad, joy or sorrow, we're not at the end of our story. Jesus invites us to have life in his name, to continue a story that is full of joy and fulfillment and thriving, whether we feel it in this moment or not. My friends, the story of Jesus isn't done. The story of God isn't done. Our story isn't done. And this is good news. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Oh, guys, I need more energy than that. We can do more than that. This is good news, my friends. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Beautiful. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you that you have risen from the dead, that you have chosen to walk with us, to walk ahead of us and behind us, that you have a path for us that is good. You have a story you want to tell. And God, it's crazy, but you want us to tell that story with you. So help us, God, to search for ways to live life abundantly, to search for ways to love you and to share your story, to share the good news. God, may we remember that we are your people and you are telling a good story. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.